to Joey, Chris, and Gabe, Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, which, by the way, rocks. My name is Suzanne Snyder, and you guys need to listen to this podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back to Master of the Universe Podcast. Joey here with Gabe and Chris. And today we're going to be talking about Slumber Party Massacre 2. So, no news this week for obvious reasons that we're recording this, you know, back-to-back with Resurrection. So we'll just get straight into Slumber Party Massacre 2. Released in 1987. Chris is going to tell me how many months after I was born this came out. October 16th. So, you know, Gabe, dude. Yeah, Gabe, tell me, dude, you know, you picked this one. I always like to say, I like to point out the ones that you pick because, you know, it's always pretty funny to hear, you know, just the movies you think we'll like, and god dang, son, you got this one over. So, what, you know, tell us your story, your backstory or whatever with Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Well, there's really not much of a backstory other than I saw part one, I found out there was a two, so I threw that on. I went and searched for it, threw that on, and man, that shit like blew me away. I was just like, why is this so much more trippier? Why is this so much? Not a lot of people care for this movie just because.
Why would you?
It's just out there. I chose it because it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's not. The first one was great, you know, classic, just serial killer going out there. There's not really much to the story other than he's killing hot girls and, you know, that's it. Now this one actually seems like they're not so much as a story. It's they're still a killer going out, but it's just how the killer is, which is completely different in comparison to like the first killer. First killer is like wearing a blue jean jacket, blue jeans, and he just has this maniac type look on his face where he's running around with a big ass drill. This one is like he's got a badass leather jacket. He's got some steel-toed boots with little tassels on his jacket and everything, running around with a guitar. Yeah, a guitar with a freaking drill at the end of it. I mean, this guy's hair is slicked back. This guy is like a honestly, like, me and the wife were watching it, and she pointed out, you know, like, man, there is just something off about him. He's, like, very, I'm going to use the word flamboyant.
Yeah. It's also apparent, huh?
Like Prince.
Like Prince, yeah. It's also, thank you, babe. It's also apparent the guy stocked up on some fucking Just for Men and some Botox injections.
Yeah, and honestly, well, we weren't thinking Prince. Actually, you know what we were thinking? George Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that guy that goes, I think it would be nice if I can touch your body. Oh, man, that's, yeah.
Don't get Chris started. Don't get Chris started on George Michael.
I am a George Michael fan, dude. I am.
He's like, he's a very good-looking man. He's got his eyebrow up.
Leather pants and all.
Men of Mediterranean extraction usually are.
Well, this guy has a look. And he has a whole choreographed dance little routines that he does. Yeah, he dances in this damn movie. And it is it's just so weird. And there's nothing complex about this movie other than the damn ending. And it's left a lot of people curious about the ending. But we'll get to that in just a minute. You know, just we want to talk about how it starts, what this movie's about, and you'll understand like our little complexity. And I actually have two little theories about this to make it a little more fun, I guess, enjoyable. in comparison to other people that didn't really care for this movie that much.
The craziest thing for me is, like, why would someone want to watch Slumber Party Massacre 2 after watching 1? Like, oh, they made a sequel? You're like, oh, yeah, you know. Because part 1 was kind of like you said, it's just like a killer or whatever. And this one is, like, completely different, dude. Like, they take on, like, oh, it's the drill. But I love the way that they go with it. It makes the gimmick, you know, the band gimmick makes it, like, just, like, it awesome. And, of course, the chicks, you know, throwing champagne. That's the best part for me, man. The champagne party, you know, and all that shit. They're just getting and then that the killer just shows up randomly in like, for these flashes, and he's there dancing, pretending like he's playing, you know, air piano, but he's got the drill guitar, and it's just, it's awesome. But yeah, you want to go ahead and just kind of, like, walk us through just, you know, how this one starts off and all that shit.
There's not that much to this movie. The idea of the movie, and I'm just going to sum it up with PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what this movie is. From part one, we had the survivors of the movie from part one, which was Courtney and Valerie. They were like the main heroines who brought down the killer from part one. Mm. Anyways, as now we go into part two, Courtney, who was, I guess, 12 to 15-year-old girl at that time.
She's supposed to be the one that, like, he put his tongue in my mouth. It was so gross. Is that supposed to be the same, like, the same person?
The same character, yeah.
Yeah, she's, okay.
The one that I – if you listen to the previous podcast with our take on Slumber Party Massacre, I ended up mentioning that Courtney, who does absolutely nothing but complain, whine, and she's just a nuisance throughout that movie, she actually is the main character for this. It's not the same actress, but it is the same character. At this point, she's already in high school, and she's the one that this movie is following. Now, I don't know if you guys caught this, but honestly, I know I didn't, and I don't know, I guess I must have missed over it, or I looked away for something, but what happened to the dad in this movie? Because in this movie, the sister Valerie is in the hospital. Not a hospital, but like one of those mental sanitarium type of kind of insane asylum or whatever, kind of mental hospital. And it's just the mom, and she's sitting down, who's dealing with Courtney, who's dealing with nightmares and post-traumatic stress syndrome, or however way that's worded. But PTSD. This is 3 years. No, 3 or 5 years after the events of part one. So I don't know what happened to the dad, and maybe it just doesn't mention it at all, but honestly, I did not catch what he's been missing throughout the whole time. He is not there. Did you all happen to catch that?
No, of course, yeah.
No, I don't even. And yeah, I didn't even think about it, man. Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, I honestly, on my take on this, I assume that because the oldest, who was the hero, who ended up stabbing the main killer in part one, she couldn't deal with the killing, she couldn't deal with all the stress and everything, and she's in the hospital. She's actually just staying there. I guess it messed her up that bad. As for the younger girl, apparently it didn't mess her up bad enough where she's out of the hospital. She's actually living with her mom, and it's just her mom. So my taking on that is that maybe the dad couldn't deal with this whole stress of the family, the way it's broken up, and maybe he left. Maybe they had arguments. Either way, I made up that whole little scenario because I don't know what happened to the dad.
I mean, it doesn't require a whole lot of suspension to disbelieve the dad issue. I mean, either they got divorced, which is fairly common, or, right, you know, sometimes, you know, a parent dies, you know, unexpectedly, whatever, and then you got, you know, a pretty tight-knit family around the loss of a parent. I mean, that happens too.
Yeah, and that could be it too. Again, I'm just kind of spitballing. I'm not quite sure. I was curious why it was just them two. Anyways, The girl's birthday is already coming up. She's going to be 17. And her friends, who all happen to be together, that get together and have a band, explain, saying that they're going to have a... The parents are going to be gone. They're going to have, like, a little weekend getaway at this little summer house. And they want Courtney, who was the nuisance in part one and the main hero for part two, they want her to go. But the mom is kind of against it. She's all like, no, I don't think so, because you've been having nightmares and something could go wrong. I got to look after you. She's really worried about her. Anyways, the daughter explains to her, look, this is my birthday coming up. They're all, but your sister's going to wait for you at the hospital. She's expecting to see you. Please, I really want to go. Clearly, she doesn't want to see her sister. She just wants to have fun with her friends. She wants to be normal. So, finally, the mom caves in and says, yes, go ahead and go. Cool. All right. Thank you, Mom. All the best, you know, having a grand old time. So, she goes and explains to her friends. Along the way, they end up meeting up with this guy who Courtney actually has this, she's explained that she's been having this crush on. So, anyways, the guy, she invites the guy, and the guy's like, yeah, yeah, I'll go too, you know, I'll meet up with you. Cool. Anyways, the girls have their own little boyfriends, which is TJ and then this other dorky-looking nerd. And they end up explaining to them, like, hey, we're going to be at this house. We want you all to come. Cool, we'll all be there. They all meet up there. Well, the girls get there, and they tell all the guys and everybody saying, hey, show up the next day. You know, it's going to be girls' night. So here comes the slumber party part. So the one of the girls ends up breaking into her dad's pantry or his closet, and he happens to have liquor, which is not hard liquor. It's like champagne and stuff. So they end up busting out the champagne. They're all drinking. They're eating corn dogs, they're eating all the junk food, just like any other teenager would, you know, in their adolescence age or whatever. So they're all partying, having a grand old time. Somewhere along the way, you know, this girl is already starting to have, like, flashbacks of, you know, scenes that happened from part one. You know, her friends are dead, you know, killings everywhere, and she's seen blood. All of a sudden, she's seeing images of the damn killer. The damn killer is, like, all with a rock guitar with a, you know, sticking his tongue out at her, you know, like, oh, I want to make out with you. I love you. And his guitar has, like, a freaking drill on it, and he's all talking about killing, you know, oh, you know, I love you. And she's all freaking out. She's having nightmares. She sees bloody images. You know, it's just weird. A little bit colorful, you know. There's, like, some colors in the background, pink and violet colors and stuff like that. It's so weird. But he's, like, dancing, thrusting his pelvis around, you know, being all George Michael-ish. So, at this point, so now the girls are all drinking, having a grand old time. The boys ended up showing up a day early, except for Matt. Matt, which is the love interest for the main character. What happens? They all start partying. They all drinking. They have hangovers the next day.
Hell yeah.
So, coming the next day, the girl, Courtney, starts having nightmares. They're all by the poolside. And she's all, oh, I had trouble sleeping. It's this hangover or something. I don't know. I don't feel good. Why? What's wrong? I don't know. I'm just seeing this guy, and it's just not great. And she's trying to explain it, but she doesn't want to ruin the party. Just like anybody else, they don't want to be a Debbie Downer. So, she kind of vaguely tells what her dreams or her nightmares are without, she's all, don't worry, you just need a, maybe you gotta get some food in you, you know, maybe that's what it is. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyways, the guys are, one of the boyfriends is a real asshole. He's kind of a dick. He makes jokes like as if he was one of the characters from Beavis and Butthead. He has like this kind of grunty laugh, Butthead.
He kind of looks like, well, I was saying when I first saw him, he looks kind of like a mixture of John Travolta, like on, like the John Travolta from Staying Alive when he had longer hair, and then Val Kilmer, you know, like a little bit of mix of those dudes. But Chris named a wrestling guy Kevin Dunn. I'm like, no way, dude. So, but
no, not this fucking one. And this one doesn't look like Kevin Dunn. The one in the first one looks like fucking Kevin Dunn.
Okay.
All right.
Tough guy.
Well, at this point, so the asshole TJ, the Kevin Dunn dork, ends up playing a joke on the girl, saying, "Look, you have a headache. I can get rid of that headache for you." "Oh, well, it's okay. No, I can do it." So he starts giving her a back massage, and he's looking at his friends and the other girls like, "Wink, wink, we're going to get rid of that headache." He shoves her in the damn pool.
That shit was fucking, I was like, how come no one jumped in there right away when she's all drowning and shit and she's all zoned out? And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they just let her, and it shows her from her point of view where she's just sitting there, and she's just like, "Oh my God, like I'm passing out. You know, what the hell is going on?" Her eyes are closing. But at the same time, she's like getting images of that damn killer. Fast forwarding, they end up getting her out of the pool. She takes a shower. She ends up eating some food, and now she's explaining, like, "Okay, I'm starting to feel a lot better. Oh, you know, this is just the, you know, I probably had too much champagne. I just had a bad hangover. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to be all weird and shit like that." Oh, okay. Well, along the way, she's starting to see images. She's starting to see this damn driller killer. And she's starting to see a whole bunch of weird shit. So she's already, like, freaking out. Anyways, they end up explaining to her, look, you're freaking out, you're panicking, you know what, you probably drank too much. That's probably what it is. "Oh, is that what it is?" "Yeah, I don't know, maybe it was too much champagne or it was bad, who knows, whatever it is." The love interest is there, Matt, and he's trying to console her, too. Like, "Don't worry, it's going to be cool. Why don't you go take a hot shower?" "Oh, okay, yeah, that sounds great." So she goes upstairs to go and take a hot shower. All of a sudden, the water is all full of blood. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you hear the voice of the driller killer. He's like, "Yeah, baby, yeah, let's rock on." And you hear nothing. You know it's him because you always hear the damn little solo guitar.
Yeah, you hear that little noise.
So you always know he's around, or he's the one that's doing something weird because you hear that solo guitar riff. So you're just like, "Oh, why he has a guitar? I'm not sure. Maybe it was just the sign of the times of the 80s. You know, girl rock bands were pretty dominant at that time, along with all the whole hair glam kind of rock.
So that in 87, Vixen was getting pretty big. And then prior to them, the ones who trailblazed the way for women rock bands was Heart.
Well, exactly. And see, and that, this is maybe that has something, maybe this whole movie has maybe some kind of nod to that type of rock and roll style, or what was trending at that time. I mean, you can see that a lot in today's movies. I mean, they usually are pretty dominant with, you know, showing off whatever's trending at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, so she's already freaking out. She runs off and goes and tells, her friend Sally. And she goes ahead and tells her, like, "Hey, you got to check out the bathroom. Please check it out." She's like panicking. She's freaking out because the bathtub's spewing out blood. So, I mean, of course, anybody else is going to be like, "What the fuck?" So Sally goes up and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing? What? She's all like, "Turn it off, man. The tub is overflowing." "No, but it was blood." "Dude, look.
Check
calm
out this
down.
Pimple.
It's going to be cool." Yeah. So at this point, the girl Sally has like a damn pimple. And all of a sudden it keeps getting worse until, like, the damn girl's face kind of explodes with pus and everything. So leave it to Courtney. She's freaking out again. She runs off to go and tell her friend, saying, oh, Sally's dead. She's dead. Oh, she's a goner. Why? What happened? Oh, she's dead. Her body's upstairs. She's crying her eyes out and everything. They go and check it, and Sally's not there. I'm getting into detail about this part only for the fact that it's going to lead up to
your theories.
When they go up there, Sally's not there, so she thinks it's her imagination, but she's pretty confident that she's dead. So get this. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, okay, well, Sally's gone. Maybe she walked to a nearby store. What? Nobody walks. That's just silly. She could have just easily taken the car. Well, the car is still here, so she's not gone. Anyway, so they're in the kitchen. They're talking. They're all, guys, when did the garbage disposal turn on? I don't know. I told you there's someone in this house, and they stuffed her in that garbage disposal. You know, everyone's all freaking out. Oh, no. Does anybody want to check it? No, nobody wants to open it and check it in case there is a dead body. It might scare them. So what do? They call the damn police. And so Officer Krueger and Officer Voorhees. Yeah. It's exactly how I said it. You can look at the end credits. Officer Krueger and Officer Voorhees, which the both of those movies were pretty strong and dominant in the movie theaters during that time in the 80s. So basically they get there and they're pissed off because they re-explain everything that the girl had just said or everything that has happened, but it just sounds silly when you say it out loud. So they say it. Guess who walks through the front door while the police officers are interrogating the people? Sally. Sally, where'd you go? Oh, I bought some oxy pads. I had like this rowdy zit, so I walked to the nearby store, but I met this cute guy. He was such a babe, and oh, am I in trouble? Why are the officers here? Well, you didn't do anything wrong, but you did have all your friends in a hurry. You did waste $200 of the taxpayers' money. You did do this. He's listing off damn shits just to make her feel bad. So they go ahead and tell Krueger, hey, let's get going. Our table or booth is waiting for us at Denny's. He's all like, oh, you're right. If you all call us on a false call again, I'm going to rip you all apart.
I'd start laughing when the cop was saying all that shit. I'm like, man, you couldn't get away with that nowadays because the body cameras the cops have. But it was just funny that the cops were like, you know, just talking all this exactly. Shit. Like what she thought. Like she thought that her friend was missing, and she was. No one knew where she was at, and you know, fuck, you know, she just had this crazy ass dream or whatever, and you know, so. But they made it seem like they were just calling in bullshit, you know.
Yeah, but you know what was more ridiculous about that part? Though that was, like you said, it was a legitimate reason to go ahead and then call the cops. They threatened them, saying, look, I think your friend Courtney is on drugs, but we're not going to take her in or drug test her. The reason why, he says, we're not going to do any of that because I don't want to have to explain to the parents. I don't want to have to explain to the parents what happened. I don't want to have to talk to lawyers. I don't want to. The whole idea of trying to investigate it any further seemed so troublesome to the cop that he just did not give a shit. He did not give a shit about the kids. He didn't give a shit. There was no murder or dead body. So anything else, he just did not care. He did not want to be there. He obviously didn't want to talk to the damn kids. And clearly nothing happened to the girl, so he was just like, I'm going to leave you all alone, but if you all fucking call me on for some damn reason and nothing bad has happened, it's a false alarm again, I'm going to rip you all apart. I swear. Come on, Krueger, let's get going. Our booth at Denny's is waiting. All right. And so they take off.
Sergeant Tallman and Sergeant Myers are waiting for him at Denny's.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. The damn whole, you know, and then they got the kid seat for damn Chucky, you know, the little booster seat for him. So I wouldn't doubt the whole crew is over there. Shit. And so at this point, I just wanted to make a whole point of that whole section because I thought that was interesting as shit. But now she's all terribly upset and everything. Matt's trying to console her. They're up in their bedroom. They're making out and shit. And she's like, she's freaking out because now she's starting to have those images again of that damn killer, the damn driller killer again. He's fucking with her. So at this point, she gets up. And she's all upset, and the guy, Matt, he's on his side. He's like, look, it's all cool. What's wrong? And, oh, all of a sudden, he gets a drill right through his damn chest. How did that happen? I thought it was just a hallucination. I thought it was a damn dream. No, it's the fucking killer, man. Whatever happened, he's in reality, or he was real, and he's fucking shit up. He killed him. So she runs off, and she thinks, like, oh, like, it might be another hallucination, but she's like, she has blood on her because when the guy got the drill through his chest, it was splattering everywhere. So when they get down, she's all like, look, oh my god, and they're all freaking out, like, oh shit, she really has blood on her, something happened. Well, guess what happened? Fucking driller killer comes down the stairs. Now they're all trying to fight him off with a damn lamp. The girls that were practicing their instruments, yeah, they brought their instruments with them because they had to practice on their weekend too. They start like screaming up a storm, all freaking out. The killers all killing them off one by one. They split off different directions. And here he goes, the damn killers like chasing them all one by one. And they're even talking amongst themselves. Each other, like, who was that? I don't know. Was that the guy that Courtney was talking about? I think so. I don't know. I don't know where he came from. I don't know who he is. Nobody knows shit about him. Anyways, the girl Courtney ended up explaining on the other half, on the other group, she ends up explaining, that's the guy. That's the one I told you that was in my dreams. Well, if he was in your dreams, where the hell did he come from? I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Oh, shit. So everyone's just, like, confused. Anyways, they're dropping like flies. The killer's going off singing show tunes, and they're playing rock and roll music, and they're playing guitar. He's doing some dance steps, you know, shaking his ass, you know, having a grand old time just hunting them down, killing them all. You know, they're trying to get help. He's killing them all down one by one. Finally, they end up at this construction site.
And I was like, how the fuck did we get here?
Exactly. They're like, it's a construction site where they're building I don't know, it looks like a fancy ass house or a mansion. So they're there and they're running around. Right now it's just Courtney and this other girl, and they're trying to run for their lives because, well, everybody else is dead. So they're running for their lives. He's off, like, singing show tunes, and you know he's getting closer, and he thought he lost them. He thought he lost them, but then he ends up seeing a trail of blood because he ends up getting one of the girls. He scarred her right across the back. So now he's, like, singing these love songs about whatever, you know, it just random shit. He's just, like, singing. So he's doing all this. He's chasing him down, kills the girl. Then it's down to... Now it's down to Courtney, which he's been after the whole damn time. So he traps her, and they're right there at the top of this construction site where there's a blowtorch. And she starts the blowtorch, and he's all, oh, yeah, girl, light me on fire. Yeah. And she's all like, oh, I will. And she lights him on fire, and he's burning up. He's, like, yelling for the top of his lungs. He's freaking out. He falls off the top of the building, and that's it. All of a sudden, the cops are there, paramedics are there, and they're wheeling off the damn girl, which you thought she died, the friend. So Courtney's like, oh, you're alive. All of a sudden, that girl starts singing, but she's singing like the dude. She starts singing like, and all of a sudden, she wakes up, and she's like, oh, shit. It was a fucking nightmare. Oh, my God. I was having a nightmare the whole damn time. Shit. Man, this sucks. Well, she's all, oh, but it's okay. I'm next to my dream guy, Matt. He's not dead. Oh, I'm just going to go and make out with him. So she just leans on over and just starts making out with him. So it seems pretty cool, right? All of a sudden, when she stops making out with them, it's the fucking driller killer again. We're like, oh, shit. The fucking dream within a dream. Shit. Damn. Oh, shit. So she starts freaking out, and she wakes up, and she's like, oh, shit. Okay, that was just a dream within a dream. Okay, we're done. That's it. Oh, no. She starts freaking out. She's, like, in the damn sane asylum, the sanitarium, and she's like, oh, shit. Well, maybe I've just been in here the whole time. Is this where I've been? I've been in the hospital the whole time? I'm crazy? That's what it is. All of a sudden, the damn drill comes up from underneath the floor, and she starts screaming, and then it ends. That's it.
I'll be honest with you. When she, like, when all that ending happens and she wakes up and it's like, oh, like, you know, normally you would spit in a movie's face for saying, like, oh, it's just a dream. But when she did that, I was like, oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah. So the idea is like, okay,
Chris,
this whole
Chris is just passed out drunk on his chair right now.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just like,
I'm just fucking with you, dude. Yeah. Now I wanted Gabe to like to tell, you know, tell his side of the story, because I know he's like he has to, you know, tell the story so he's able to give, you know, what we think or what he thinks is these, you know, theories on what's actually happening. So now I wanted him to. That's why I was like, go ahead. I'm not gonna give too much commentary. We'll, you know, I'll talk about it on my closing thoughts. But now keep going, man.
Honestly, it's I have a tendency to do this a lot. Where there's something like I want to explain pretty well. I'm like, oh, about this certain part. But every time I've noticed that I explain this part, it usually doesn't make too much sense or people don't really catch on like what I'm talking about. So I usually kind of have to give a little bit of like background.
Yeah.
But as silly as I am, I can't just give a little bit of background. I end up explaining the whole damn movie and I don't even mean to. So it ends up leading to, like, you know what? I'm sorry, guys. There's no reason to even watch the movie. Just listen to me. I can like the wife, like this happens to me all the damn time. If for some reason the wife can't watch the damn movie or she's busy or she's doing something, I end up watching something and I watch whatever and it grapples me so much. I think it's like something so great. So here she comes and she starts talking to me. I'm like, oh, so guess what I just saw? So I explain and she's like, what? Okay, all right. It all started with the movie title as it opens. It's dark. The sun is setting. And before you know it, I explain the whole thing. And then I tell her, I'm like, hey, so do you want to watch the movie? Like, I know I already saw it, but it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why I already felt like I saw it. What do you mean? Oh, I don't want to watch it because you already told me everything. I don't need to. Oh man. God,
and she's really good at remembering things too, right?
Yeah, she's pretty damn good.
She's like
about it. So... So there's really no point. I explained everything, and then she remembers it. So it's like she watched it. So then she'll end up – she can actually explain parts of the movie because the way I've already explained it. So just to kind of give you guys heads up, feel free to cut me off at any damn time because I do get carried away. And I don't mean to, but – yeah, feel free to do that. It's not rude.
No. I'm one of those dudes that I'm not a good storyteller. I'm a good, you know, commenter on like, you know, shit like that. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, hey, explain, you know, Slumber Party Massacre. And I would say, well, it's a girl that has, like, it seems like she has post-traumatic stress from an event. And she's starting to, like, see things in kind of like a Freddy Krueger type movie. He's got a drill. Like, I'm not going to do it the way, like, you do it very well. So, no, it's like, that's your strong suit. That's what gets it over. I'm just like, you know, hey, I could tell a story about Chris. That's no big deal. But as far as, like, a fucking, you know, a movie, like, I can't do that. And then like you really remember such like small tiny details that are like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, you know. So no, it's always cool. And like, I wanted you to do that for this one because I had only saw it once. It is a movie I am going to come back to for sure. But I only saw it once, so I couldn't like I had, you know, unless you had brought it up, I was like, oh yeah, that pool scene. You know, I wouldn't have even mentioned it. But when I saw that, when you had talked about it, I was like, man, that guy's like, hey, yo, man, you want to go for a dip? And he's like, he's just like all over the top and shit, and you know, all that. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And like, that's really cool. Like that scene when she's like underwater, because it's like in slow motion with the driller killer. Like he's got one leg on the bed, and he's like going in slow motion, like doing his little dance, and it's like, it's a cool trippy, like it's like a music video. The whole movie, when he comes out, you're just like, wow, this is like, that was my first impression. I was like, this reminds me of Freddy just by seeing like the beginning of it right away. I was like, this is like a Freddy Krueger movie, and sure enough, dude, like. Yeah, I got more and more Freddy, and even so that, like, he comes out to the real world, like you're saying, towards the end, and I was like, when that happened, I was like, wow, this is really like a Freddy movie when they bring him to the real world and shit like that, you know? So, no, you're good with all that, but, you know, Chris, I mean...
Yeah, like, as far as this movie, I mean, there's a couple of ways to look into this damn movie as far as, like, that driller killer, though. The main idea, like if you were just to watch it and you just want an easy answer for it, I would just go ahead and chalk it up to the girl is crazy. You know, apparently it messed up the sister so bad that it got her locked up. And for some odd reason, maybe it's the girl is young or something, but, you know, it messed her up pretty badly too. So you could chalk it up to that. This is all in her mind. There's not enough evidence that shows that maybe she was the one doing the killing, because throughout the whole time, anything bad happened, she went ahead and she went to the friends. She always ran for help. She never showed any kind of dominance saying that she was going to take charge. So she was pretty weak throughout that damn movie. But like my theories, like if you wanted like some fun little theories, because there's a documentary about Slumber Party Massacre 2, and the director, which was, I think her name is Deborah Brock, and the director ended up saying there's two, you can look at it however way you want it, but she says she wanted to leave it open for interpretation, like however way you want. She's not going to give any kind of clear answer to whether if he's real or not. So one way you can think about it is that, yes, he's a Freddy Krueger type deal. Freddy Krueger, you know, he got tortured and then ended up dying, but then he came back and manifested dreams. And that could be, you can look at it as the same way. He's doing the whole nightmare thing. He's killing people off and they're really dead in real life. Or you can look at it as this was a kind of a neat idea, was Courtney, maybe she actually has powers. And you're probably wondering, like, well, how the hell would she have powers? Well, the idea came across as if you all ever seen the movie The Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's like, it's like a 90s version. I think there's like an older one too, but there's like a 90s version of The Twilight Zone. And on one particular segment of that movie, it's when the little boy, anything he thinks of, he can manifest and he can make it happen. I think, and just again shootballing, you know, spitballing out here, but what if the girl had that power but she was but it messed her up as a kid, so now all she doesn't, you know, she just manifested her fear of that killer, and he actually came out into real life. You know, she manifested him. She brought him to life. She has that power. She couldn't realize any other. She also thought of Matt throughout this whole series, and Matt came to life several times throughout this movie. I mean, that's a possibility too. I don't know. I mean, those were like my kind of theories on that. I mean, you can look at it anyway. Simplest route would be that she's just crazy and she's been in the mentalist institution the whole time. But, I mean, that's just my idea, though.
Yeah, it's it. When I saw that ending, like I said, it really like threw me for a loop. So I'm glad you had like talked about like what they wanted to, they really wanted to do that, because they really did. They fucking, I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And like, I guess Chris, dude. I mean, I want to, since we're on our last segment, I guess I want you to, you know, just I guess give your theory on the film, or what you, you know, your and your rating the way you usually do, and any highlights for you, because I had a lot of fun with this one, but I want to hear, you know, your experience.
Oh, overall, it was a fun watch. It's only an hour and 15 minutes. I mean, it's a fun watch. Like, the chick band was a fun element of it. Courtney being on her own was a fun element. I wish they would have used the same actress, you know, because it's just better for visual consistency. But I kind of popped when I learned that Crystal Bernard was the new Courtney, because I remember her. I didn't even realize it until I watched a review this today. I didn't realize that's fucking, what's her name, Helen from Wings. You know, Gabe and I are old enough to remember that show.
Oh, man, I hate Wings. That show is so boring. Yeah, I have an older brother, and he loved the Wings. Wings, and then there was another old show like that. What was it, Cheers? I did not care for Cheers.
Cheers is okay. It wasn't my favorite, but it was okay. My dad loved Cheers, and my mom hated it because it took place in a bar, and she's like all anti-alcohol.
She's great.
Yeah, it's like this movie is like it's kind of fun. I'm not gonna trash the fucking no. I mean, it's not like that. I mean, there are some inconsistencies. Like, I mean, like they couldn't use the same actors and actresses from one film to another. Okay, you know, not a big deal. Still fun with the chick band. It's kind of just kind of ripping off the Freddy Krueger Nightmare on Elm Street concept of killing people in their sleep, dreams, whatever. But I mean, you know, it's not. At the same time, they're not trying too hard to present themselves too seriously. It's a low budget, and I say low budget, I don't mean that as an insult. It is. It was $500,000 budget. It's a low budget late 80s horror film.
It does not seem like it, though.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but that pimple scene, I was like, that shit was crazy how they, like, because it, I know it's low budget, right? But, like, for them to be able to get those effects, it was like, wow, you know, for that makeup job for fucking, you know, the pimple zit gimmick chick where she's all crazy. I was like, wow, that took some talent, dude. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah. I'm going to give this one. I'll probably give it 6¾.
6¾. Okay. For me, I'll go next. Yeah, I give it a 7.5, dude. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was one of those like there was nothing like it stood out as amazing other than like the killer in it, but I enjoyed myself. Like, I was like, wasn't expecting it to be like as good as it was. Not that it was amazing, but it was fun. You know, it's a film that, like I said, I would never like, oh, let's watch Slumber Party Massacre 2, because it's like, okay, why? And I love the whole, like, you know, Gabe had mentioned like the music aspect of it, and like the guy, yeah, you know, y'all said flamboyant. It's like, yeah, he's got that, just whenever he shows up, you right, you start giving that Chris eyebrow smirk, you know, because you're like, oh, here he goes, you know, and just made it fun. You have these killers and they're kind of like generic, and this guy, like, it's the complete opposite. It's like, oh, we're going to have this kind of like lover boy, you know, with the guitar, with the drill, like just acting like over the top, you know. And it was like I said, it was like Freddy. The way, I think, what was part four already out when this for Freddy, Chris, or was it 87?
It had okay.
84, 84,
85, February 7, and then 88 was part four.
88. Okay, so it was right, but right. So they were actually on the right idea of how Freddy was going to be by, because part four came out after this in 88, right? So they were already they saw the potential of that over the topness and all that. So now I think it's a good movie. It's the chicks, you know, taking off their bras, throwing champagne at each other, singing. You know, it's just a fun movie, man. It's something that you wouldn't, like, you know, you wouldn't expect, but it definitely got over with me. I'm gonna give it a 7.5, dude. So it's just a lot of fun. But Gabe,
yeah, I'm right there with y'all. I mean, I have to also give this a movie a 7.5 as well. I love the colors, like just like the whole guitar type of thing. It's funny. It's that guitar, man. I kid you not. That thing is wicked cool. I honestly want to. I want one. I feel like I need one. That I'm not a musician at all. A musician artist or anything like that. And though I've tried, I have shit for rhythm. I am terrible at music, but I want that damn guitar. It just looks bad, and I would hang that thing up on my wall. That thing is awesome. Yeah, but I mean, the killer was cool. He was fun. He was real kind of goofy, like, you know, Courtney again. You know, just like in the original one, she doesn't really do much. And again, in this one, she doesn't really do anything other.
She just screams. At all.
Yeah, she screams and runs and cries. She was basically killing the damn party. I mean, literally, and you know,
yeah, both ways.
She's terrible. Yeah. Damn, you know, like you always have that one person. Everybody's like there to have a great time, but then there's that one person. So I've been having a bad time these last couple of days, and. Dude, we're here to drink and have fun. Have a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have a beer, but I've just been so sad lately. Oh, man. I'm trying to have fun here. But why have you been sad? You know, it's just, there's always a Debbie Downer. Nobody wants a Debbie Downer. And that's pretty much what this character is. You know, and I guess they understood that when they... Because they've known her for years, and they know her history. They know that she helped fight off, even though she didn't do shit. She helped fight off the serial killer. So, of course, they know that she has, like, some trauma history. And knowing going into this party, you know, they would think, you know, maybe she might be cool this time. No, she's terrible again. You know, she's being a nuisance. So... Anyways, as far as all that goes, I mean, the movie's fun. It's a good watch. You know, a lot of people might not like it, you know, because it's not straightforward like the first one, I guess. But I think it's more colorful and more active, if that's the right word for it.
Yeah.
So I enjoy it. Yeah, 7.5, man. This movie's good. It's good, fun to watch. And from my understanding, there's a Slumber Party Massacre 3. Now, don't ask me about that one, because honestly, I barely even found out there was a part 3, so I honestly don't know, and I am going to watch that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because I was going to say, are we going to do Slumber Party Massacre 3? I was going to ask you at the end of this, right, so I'm glad you brought it up, because I was like, you know, when we do these things, I have, like, Wikipedia up just for names, because I'm, like, horrible with names. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, I wonder if we're going to end up doing 3. It'll probably be in a long while because we're you know, this year we're trying to get through the Halloween films. We only have part 1 or Rob Zombie's, you know, part 1 and 2 and then the newest one. So there's only 3 films till the newest one comes out. We'll try to get to that one before the new one comes out. So when we get to that, you know, Halloween Kills, we can go ahead and be all, you know, up to date, have all the other films under our belt. But also the Hellraiser series, we just did part 2 a while back, so I can't wait to get to part 3. Like, Hellraiser 3 is kind of like this film, right, where it's like, it's completely different. It's got the same gimmicks, you know, here and there, but it's a lot of fun, a lot of over-the-top bullshit. So, yeah, I can't wait to do some more of these, you know, some of these films that I haven't seen. You're always throwing some curveballs into stuff. You're like, hey, let's do this one. I'm always open to it because it's always a lot of fun. Right, Chris?
Yep.
He loves to do that one, right? Yep. Like one word yep. Answer, Karam.
Okay, well, you think, like, I remember we were in Friday the 13th part 6, and you asked, you brought up something, and I said yep, and you go, can you say anything besides yep?
Yep.
Well, not much has changed.
You read, notes. I made notes about the movie, and one of them was like the main sheriff of that fucking town.
He just put yup. He just put yup, and after every word, you know, his notes.
And the sheriff in that movie was, his name was Sheriff Garris, but the character's first name was Michael, and you were reading it as we were doing it, Sheriff Michael Garris. You said that just to get at me.
Chris will tell you more details about an old podcast that we did on a fucking than the movie we're actually doing. And he's like fucking hilarious like that. You remember when we did? We'll be like 10 podcasts deep, but he'll be like, remember Slumber Party Massacre 2 podcast? And Gabe starts talking about that, and he'll go on to detail. It's fucking classic, dude.
Did I read correctly yesterday when I was reading about this fucking movie? Did I read that there's a part 3 of this shit?
Chris is completely oblivious what we're talking. I'm telling you, dude, what the fuck? Chris, when you listen to this podcast, you're gonna laugh like what you just. You're gonna rewind and say, "Oh, okay."
Fuck, I mean that's gonna be a third set of different actors and actresses on that one.
When did you find out that there was gonna be a part 3, Chris? Or there is a part 3?
When I was reading about it yesterday. I mean, fuck.
Okay.
1990, and that's the thing. 1990 was the same shit as the late 80s. It's not different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I don't think we have a film in the works to do next. I'm sure I do. I'm going to look at it real quick. Oh, you know what? We're going to do a Universal Monsters. It's been way too long on our podcast that we've done all kinds of shit, slashers, paranormal, and we haven't done a Universal Monster, you know, movie, dude. So I think it's time to go to the well. It's just for y'all that are keeping notes and shit. I want to do the original Dracula 1930, dude. What do y'all think about that?
Okay. I'm all right with it.
All right. So now, yeah. Okay. Chris is over there, you know, doing that shit.
What streaming service is on?
It should be. It's actually on. It's like its own app. Chris, I'm not gonna pay. Yeah, I think it's on its own app, but I have the DVD and shit, dude. So I think the next string of films we should do is, you know, Dracula, right? And then the Rob Zombie Halloween. We gotta go back to shitness. I haven't seen it in a while, so maybe my thoughts will change. And then Saw. So Dracula, Halloween, Saw, I think are good next.
Well, why don't we say anything Halloween? Why don't we save that for October? And why don't we do Saw? And why don't we also do Invisible Man?
Well, we've talked about why we don't do a bunch of Halloween and or like back to back, because then we get burnt out, and by the time we see the four, okay, we'll just do Dracula next week, and then we'll see how we feel, you know, after that. We'll call it in the ring. So the thing with Dracula is the first Universal Monsters movie. That's why I wanted to do it first, kind of set the tone. Right. But you want to do Invisible Man because you have it, right? Piece of shit.
I owe it.
He wants to do that Kevin Bacon Hollow Man shit.
Oh,
yeah.
I do like Kevin Bacon though. He's a badass though. I like his movies.
There's
Tremors.
No role.
Chris hates Tremors, and I love it. So.
Tremors is badass. I love Tremors.
Every other movie that Kevin Bacon's in besides Tremors is the shit.
What about Kevin Italian Sausage?
That's the brand X Kevin Bacon.
So Chris, you want to do the Invisible Man instead of Dracula?
No. Let's do Dracula, but I'm saying after Dracula.
Okay.
Then do the Invisible Man. Let's buy ourselves some time between now and October, because October is the hot fucking red hot bed.
For Halloween, well, yeah, I got you. I know what you're doing anyway. Yeah, so we're doing Dracula. That's it, everybody. So hope you guys enjoyed this one, and me, Chris, and Gabe, we'll see you guys on the next one.
You gotta be shitting me, man. That mother's strong.
Strong.
Peace. See you soon, baboon.